To see the camera at the back and everybody behind it. So we've got a bit of technology advancement today in our movement back towards having services in the building. And I've been given a radio mic, which means I'm allowed to move from out of this little square area here. And I'm going to challenge the camera lady to see if she can keep up with where I go. I've been told I'm allowed to move this much. If I probably come over here, I'll trip over the wire or probably something like that. So we won't do that. But great to see you all this morning. And we're continuing our series, as you heard Sam read so brilliantly, looking at the parable of the sower this morning, which actually, you know, is probably one of the most well-known parables that we have from Jesus. So if you're not aware of the parables, they're really stories that Jesus told to get across a point about the kingdom of God, to get across a point about what Christianity is about, to get across a point about how we follow him. And this is one of the most well-known ones. And usually when we talk about this parable, it's usually in the context that we need to get the message out as Christians, right? It's usually in the context, we've got to sow as we go along. And that's usually sort of one of the main points we get across. Or, if you've heard it before, I bet you've probably heard a message about the type of ground the seed lands on. And what type of ground are you? And just a little quick test from Sam's reading and a bit of interactivity. What was the first ground the seed landed on? Can't hear you at home, sorry. But path, very good, path. And the seed that landed on the path meant what? It was trampled on, that's right. It's like the word of God. You hear the message of Jesus, but before you can do anything about it, it's snatched away and it's trampled on. What was the second ground the seed landed on? Stony, rocky, yeah, that's right. Stony or rocky ground, which meant the seed that landed on there was actually that you heard the word of God, but then actually it was snatched away when testing came. It's like you responded to Jesus and then somebody teased you about being a Christian and you thought, right, I'll jack it in. That's what that means. And the third type of ground the seed landed on was what? One with the weeds and the thorns. That's right, this is great, this. Interactive sermons, it's the future. So that's right, and that represented you respond to the message of Jesus, but as you go on in life, the cares and the riches of this world start to stifle out you and I following Jesus, right? And that ground represents that. And the final soil, of course, was the good soil, that's right. And the good soil represents, you know, we hear the word of God, we do our best to follow Jesus, and we pursue him with all our heart. And as a consequence of that, Jesus tells us we start bearing much fruit, right? Which is where we go. So I bet if you've heard messages on this parable before, you've probably heard a lot of that before. But this morning, I'd like to look at it slightly differently and take a different tack. And I've got really one main observation, something small first, but really one main thing I want to talk about. Because we're at the moment, we're going through a series on our Sunday morning chats based around the Commission, which is in something else that Jesus said after he was crucified and God raised him from the dead and before he went back to heaven, one of the last things he said to his disciples was that they are to therefore go into the whole world and make disciples. In other words, Jesus himself has given you and I as the church the instruction that we're to be men and women who go. And so we're going through this series called Therefore Go. And today's message is brilliantly titled, Therefore So. Thank you very much. And because, actually, as we come out of lockdown, there's a bit of an emphasis on it, and Jonathan's already alluded to it. It'd be great to get everybody back in the building. But actually, I think God wants something bigger for us to get involved with as we come out of lockdown. And that is to get involved in the community out there. And that's way more, I think that's something that's far more on his heart than filling this room with people in that sense. And so that's why we've got this series that we're going on at the moment. And particularly for us as we work as a church on Batemore and Jordan Thorpe and Low Edges, and for wherever you're from or listening to this morning, the community that you represent. You know, it's a challenge from Jesus for us that we are to therefore go. And as we go, we're to be men and women who learn what it is to sow. Because actually, we're all sowing something all the time, aren't we? Yeah. You know, whenever you meet anybody or chat with anybody, you're sowing something. The question is, what are we sowing? Right? If you see any of these many COP programs on telly, you know, maybe line of duty or whatever, you know, they always say when they're tracing, when they're after a criminal, every contact leaves a trace. And that's the same for you and I as we go through life. Every contact we have with people leaves a trace. What is that trace? So the first thing I just want to pull out of the story this morning is actually the story in the passage I read for us. The sower obviously has a ton of seed. Am I all right standing here, guys? Can I carry on? Yeah, okay, cool. The sower obviously has a ton of seed, you know, that he's actually going out there and sowing. And actually, you know, that's what you're meant to do with seed, right? Nobody goes to the garden centre, buys a load of seed, takes it home and leaves it on the shelf. Right, you're not supposed... Okay, you're not supposed to go to the garden centre, buy a ton of seed, take it home and leave it on the shelf. You buy it to sow, right? That's why we have seed, right? And so in the story that we've got today, the sower doesn't sit at home looking at this great big pile of seed like it's some EU grain mountain that he's got in his house, you know, and thinking, wow, I've got all this seed. No, he gets off his butt and he goes out and he sows. Because that's what seed is for. It's for sowing and spreading it around. That's what it's intended for. And when the disciples ask Jesus, what does this all mean? Jesus makes it pretty clear that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the message of God that is in your life. The seed is what you know about Jesus. The seed is the experiences you have about following Jesus. The stories you've got to say about what Jesus means to you. That's the seed. And, you know, we shouldn't be sat in our homes or in our churches, just thinking, wow, I've got all these stories about Jesus. We're meant to take them out and share them in the community around us with other people that we rub shoulders with. We're not meant to keep this to ourselves. The gospel of Jesus and his work in your life and in my life is not so that we can stockpile a nice set of stories about what God has done for me. It's actually, and hoard them somewhere. It's so that we can get those stories and then sow them, all right? And scatter them abroad and let others know about it. Christianity is not a private religion. Sorry. Nor is sowing something that only the special people do. Something that only the evangelists do. No, Jesus makes it really clear we're all called to be sowers. And some of us have got a big pile of stuff to say, and some of us have got a smaller pile, and that's absolutely fine. But the point is, we've all got stories in our own life of how Jesus answered a prayer, how Jesus did this, how Jesus did that, and we need to learn how to get that out and sow it as we go through our lives. Hopefully, we kind of understand that. But the challenge, and what I really want to talk about, is how do we do that? Right? Because that's the awkward bit, isn't it? That's the hard bit. If I'm honest, right, I feel awkward quite often when I get to the point of talking to people about Jesus sometimes. You know, because the message, the gospel, seems at one level so far removed from the reality of their everyday life and the challenges they're facing in their life. How do we communicate that message? How do we get it across? How do we make it relevant? Because we believe it is relevant, right? Okay, good. Terry does. That's great. Right, because those songs we've been singing are not just so that we can have a bless-up time in here, it's so that we can grasp hold of that in our own lives and spread it out, right? Because they're not just great songs because they've got a nice tune and Paul's really great at leading worship. They're truths of what God has done in your life and my life and that we're singing about them. So we can also sow outside in the community. And we often read this parable as if Jesus, it's a bit like those westerns, you know, when the cavalry are in their fort and then they ride out, have a little skirmish with the Indians, and then they ride back to the fort. And we often read this parable in that context, that we run out of our churches or our Christian bubble, we say something about Jesus to someone, we think, yes, and then we run back into our church or into our safety again. And we can read it like that, and there becomes this big disconnect between the message, which is the gospel of Jesus, and the gospel is good news, That's what it literally means, right? So it is good news, but there's this disconnect between that and being able to connect with people so that at least they understand it, even if there is risk involved. It's a little bit like, you know, when you teach your child to ride a bike, you can't just put him on a bike and let him go. Well, you can, I suppose. But you need to get a lot of plasters ready and a lot of TLC and a lot of hugs, right? But you put them on, you know, you get them, they start off with a trike, don't they? And then it used to be you get them with a bike with stabilizers. Now it seems to be these balance bikes, I think, that they tend to have, which seems a better idea to me. But eventually, and they do that, and then you get to the point where you stick a broom handle down the back of the bike and you run down the road behind them, don't you, keeping them up, and that certainly used to be the case. And eventually they get there. But there's something you have to do. You have to go through that process first to get your child to be at a place where they can safely ride a bike. And I think when we look at this parable, there are things we can do to get us to the point where actually we can be a little bit more confident about sowing seed on good soil. Because the message of Jesus is so at odds with society today. The message of Jesus is so contrary to how a lot of people live their lives. And actually, hopefully, it's challenging you and me most of the time as well. And we can't just think about, here's the message, right, I've done my bit. We need to think about the how. How do we sow the seed in 21st century UK? How do we sow the seed in Batemore, Jordanthorpe and Low Edges, or whatever community you come from, or where your church is, or where the friends and the neighbours and the families that you mix with? How do we sow the seed today? What I mean by this, for example, is how do we tell someone who's lost their job that God loves them? How do we tell somebody who is struggling with mental or physical health issues that God is a God who cares for them? How do we do that? How do we tell someone who is a victim of domestic violence that God is a God who loves them and cares for them? How do we tell someone who's deciding whether to spend the little money that they have on food or on heating that God is a God who provides? How do we do that? These are kind of real issues, and there are other things, right? And that's why we get this bit of disconnect and why we need to start to think about this a bit more. How do we do that without sounding like we're the ones who have got it sorted? How do we do that without sounding arrogant, basically, and a bit up ourselves? How do we do that in a way that connects with people and communicates the message of Jesus in a way that is relevant? If I can use an analogy from my workplace, right? So if somebody who works for me makes a mistake in their work and does something perhaps that's wrong or causes a problem or whatever, there's at least two ways I can handle that. One way is that I can rely on the fact that I am their boss and they work for me and they need to do what I say. Right, otherwise there'll be trouble. Right? And I could rely on that and have a conversation with them about what they've done wrong and tell them they need to do it right. And if I do that, I may get a good response, pretty unlikely, but they may correct their behaviour, they may do something different, right? But it's not really going to be something that is what I'm really looking for, right? A different way of tackling that same problem is if that person who's made the mistake or has done something wrong, if they are somebody that I've invested in, if they've somebody that I've spent time with, if they've someone that we've chatted about non-work things together, or we've found some common ground and we chat to each other about our families and how they're doing, if they're someone that I've noted and commented on when they do things well, if they're someone that I've been open and honest with myself about my own shortcomings, even as their boss, then when we have that chat, perhaps that person will have a greater level of trust in me. Perhaps I'll have a greater level of confidence in what I'm saying and even understand that actually I've got their best interests in heart. And I guarantee I get a very different response when we have to tackle something that needs saying compared to just relying on the fact I'm their boss and they work for me. You see, it's not just about the message. The fact the words we use are a very important part, but they're a small part. It's about earning the right to speak, I think. So back to our story this morning, it's about earning the right to sow, earning the right to sow seed in people's lives and doing that. And how do we do that? How do we earn that right? Well, I think there's lots of things that you're probably far better than I am at thinking about how we do that. But I just pull out four things quickly. First of all, we need to get involved with people in the community, right? Whatever community that is that you're a part of today, we need to rub shoulders with them. We need to get to understand what it is that makes people tick, what their struggles are, what their joys are. You know, if you just listen to anybody who's involved in many of the activities in the church here today, whether drop-ins or food banks or clothes banks or youth work or children's work, and you get to pick up that it's not just doing the youth work, it's not just doing the children's work, it's not just doing the food bank. You actually get to know about people and you make friends and you get to understand them. And so getting that level of involvement is so important. The second thing that we need to do is we need to be prepared to be open ourselves. You see, we're not the cavalry riding out from the fort, saying our little bit about Jesus, and then riding back in again. We haven't got it all right. In fact, we've got a lot of things that are wrong, right? Jesus hasn't, but we have, if we're honest. And we need to have that honesty about ourselves and be prepared to admit and show that. Use this one. Yeah, sure. So moving, the third thing I just want to bring out is I think we need to, I hate to use the journey word, but it is a journey, right? We need to move from a position of helping people to a position of befriending people, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, many of the things that we do here through this church and through other activities around in the communities here, they're a great starting place because, you know, that desire to help is a good thing and is a God-given thing. But we need to move from a position of thinking, right, we're the one who's doing some help, to being the person who is now a friend of this person next to me or this person that we're working with. We need to move, if you like, towards that, because spending time with people and investing in them will help them in that situation and enable that. And the fourth thing quickly is that you've heard, Jonathan's already mentioned one of our values this morning, and if you look at the little Meadowhead Christian Fellowship logo, we have those four things written in so small print underneath you can't read them, but one of them is transforming communities. You know, and that, it seems to me, that sowing, as we read about in this story, is a key part of transforming communities for us. By the way, as you think about that, I think there's two T words that are key for that. One is, it's about team. We're in this together. You kind of read the story about the parable of the sower, and you just get there, it's this lone sower. But obviously, in those days, they were all lined up going down the field. They're all sowing together. We're in this together. It's team. And in each of the activities that I've mentioned already and the things that we do in the community, it's about working together as team. And the second thing that I just want to bring out is it's about time. It's about commitment to time and a willingness to be open for that. And what I mean is, there's an enormous pressure in today's society for everything to be fixed quickly, right? You know, there's so many things around us that are focused on that, and we don't have time to go into that. But investing in people, investing in a community, investing in people's lives so that we see Jesus make a difference requires a commitment of time and effort and energy from ourselves. If you look at any of the things that we've done here since we've been in this building, you know, we've been going for years. You know, think of the kids' work that Jill and Pete have been running for years and just how long that's been going on. You know, that effort, that commitment, that level of involvement. Angie and I were just looking through some past emails because we were maybe bored, I think, one time. And we came across this email that Angie wrote to Jonathan in 2010. And she just said this in the email to Jonathan. So this is 11 years ago, right? My thoughts so far are to set up and run a debt advice centre, and certainly the Capway seems good because of their expert involvement. From the initial debt advice, I would love to see a shop open to allow for second-hand clothes and goods. 11 years ago, right? Maybe we could do food parcels linked to the charity. And in time, there would be so much scope for single families, abortion, teenage pregnancy support, drug and alcohol support, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the point of bringing that in is just to say these This is an involvement that requires a commitment, right, and takes time, and we need to have that in our minds, that actually, if God is calling us to be a church on the estate here, if God is calling us to be involved in the community here, this is a lifetime commitment. I just feel bizarre saying that, right, because most people go, oh, I don't want to do that, but it is. How long have you been here, Jonathan? 27 years?
20, in the 20th year.
Yeah, right, and... and it's that kind of involvement and engagement. If we want to see God come in the community, if we want to see God transform and make a difference, not just in the church, but outside on the streets, please God, then it requires a level of commitment and energy from us together as team over decades. That's really sold it, hasn't it? but that's what we're talking about. And I think, you know, when we sow, that's what we're talking about. So I think the sowing that Jesus is calling us to, if we want to be a church in this location or wherever you're from this morning, it is that level of involvement. But the reward of sowing seed through our actions, through the transparency of our lives and how we live our lifestyle, is that when we get to saying the words of Jesus to someone, what we say stacks up against what they see about your life and my life. And that's when the seed lands on the good soil, or has a greater chance of landing on the good soil, because they see that what you say marries up with how you live your life and your lifestyle. And it's not disconnected in any way. So how can we put ourselves in places where this can happen? We'll become sowers, as Jesus is talking about here. You know, there's numerous things both run from this place and from other parts of the communities around here. And some of them are in the building this morning, which is great. You know, but, you know, the library, the food bank, the clothes bank, the Edge Centre that's going to happen. I've dropped that out now. The drop-ins, the cafe, the litter picking, the Batemore Green Space Project with Ros and Steve. There's many other things that are out there that are going on. All of these are opportunities for all of us to get involved. Not in all of them, right, clearly. But the point is, the opportunities are numerous and represent many different things. And there may be new things that God is speaking to you about that actually he wants you to get involved with and start kicking off. There's plenty of opportunities. Yeah. So I just want to finish with this. The history of this church at MCF is that it deliberately bought a building on Jordanthorpe to act as a base from which the church could impact the local community. Since we've moved here, there's been numerous ways that have sprung up through which that has started to happen. As we come out of lockdown, I believe God would again remind us we don't exist for ourselves, but to bring his truth and his grace to the community around us and to press forward and get involved. Amen.